Johnny, welcome back to the show, man. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing today?
Excellent. So Kopitar, is tonight the last game you think he's going to miss? Is he going to be ready for the weekend?
To be determined. That's the big question right now. Kings have a back-to-back Saturday, Sunday against New Jersey and then heading down the 5 freeway to Anaheim. So I think at this point it's just a matter of pain management right now. Kopitar has been one of the most durable players in the entire National Hockey League, other than the year in which he suffered that broken ankle at the end of the year. Since then, he's played in 385 out of a possible 392 games. So he's somebody played 82 games five different times in his career. It's just very rare not seeing him in the lineup, but won't go tonight. But it looks like a decent bet to expect him to go at some point this weekend.
You know, and the thing is, well, he's such a good player. He's hurt a lot of teams, but he's been absolute poison to the Oilers. What do you see the top six looking like tonight against Edmonton without him there?
The Kings will roll with colloquially known as that 70s line, the Pearson-Carter-Toffoli line, followed by a line that has started out as a very good third line this season, but has had to be bumped up really into second line duty, which is the Dustin Brown, Nick Dowd, and Devin Setoguchi line. Hmm. So they took out Andre Kopitar, put in Trevor Lewis in his spot. That's more of a third line right now at this point. Move several other players around. You're going to see Lewis skate alongside Dwight King and Jordan Nolan today, it looks like. So it's a team right now that's got to score goals. The Kings haven't received that regular scoring right now, which has been a challenge because they don't have all-world goaltender Jonathan Quick in net.
What's the return on Quick?
He's looking at it. He's still month to month at this point. I'm not expecting to see him at any point in 2016. I think the next update will probably come in several weeks, but he's a player that's missing about half to a little bit more than half of the season. And that might even be a little bit of an optimistic scenario for the Kings.
John, I know when I spoke to you last, you said, hey, you know what? I'm not sure the Kings are going to rush out and get anybody just because they're pretty high on Peter Budaj after what he's done in the past. And so far this season, he's been pretty good in goal for the Kings. I think they're 12th or 13th in goals against. The save percentage is overall pretty decent. And you mentioned their offense. They're 26th. They're only averaging 2.29 goals per game. Now, Budaj, goalies can do it kind of like maybe a guy from the third line can jump up for 15 or 20 games, but then eventually he's not a first-line player. Do you think Budaj can maintain this all season?
Not really, and I think we're starting to see a little bit of it coming down right now. He's given the Kings a chance to win virtually every single game, though in virtually every single game, there's probably maybe one goal that he would like to have back. He's doing everything that he possibly can. I mean, this is a player that was in the American Hockey League the last 2 years. He was the AHL goalie of the year last season. He's proving right now that he's plenty capable of being an NHL backup. But again, as you mentioned, you're going 15, 20, and eventually 25 games with an NHL backup, and he's had a very, very heavy workload. Over that stretch, only one game was started by Jeff Zadkoff, and Zadkoff wasn't able to finish that game because he had groin spasms. So this is an incredibly heavy workload right now for the Kings. I think it also, I know we always talk about, the importance of intangibles and, how much this is worth, but the Kings not having Jonathan Quick regularly in that room as a member, kind of a pillar of the team's leadership committee, too, that's something that's eventually going to take a toll on this team. But on virtually any night, Peter Budaj is at least giving them a chance to win a game.
John, recent times the Kings have essentially beat the Oilers for fun, 9 straight. They've been the bigger team, the better team. The one thing we can say about this Oiler team right now with Milan Lucic, Cassian, and Patrick Maroon is they've at least added some size and their skill there. How much has the dynamic changed in your mind with this Oilers team adding that size that can play in the top nine?
Yeah, I think they have a good mix of that size and that speed. I mean, we all know about Patrick Maroon and what he even meant on the power play to a very good Anaheim Ducks power play and how he's able to really cash in around the net and make his living around there. Something that Daryl Sutter said earlier today, he called it elite, the centers that the Oilers have. I mean, obviously, when you have someone like Connor McDavid, followed then by Leon Draisaitl and Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, I mean, those are three centers. You can have three scoring lines right there, and that's a very good type of like team structure to have. But I think it's not too different from the Kings right now. The Kings are one of those teams that is evolving. I shouldn't say evolving away from that heavy style, but they have a mix of some size. They're trying to incorporate a little bit more speed right now. But even though the Kings might not be one of those, you know, elite skating teams around the NHL, whether you want to call it like a Minnesota, Pittsburgh, New York Rangers, some of those fastest teams in the league, the Kings have always played with a very good pace, at least when things are going well under Daryl Sutter. And that has been the vast majority of his reign in Los Angeles. They play with a very good pace. They practice fast and they tend to play fast. You know, it's not just speed. It's being able to make very good decisions on the ice while playing at a high speed. And you know, I think the Kings have the making the quick decisions part down. They're now evolving to being towards a team that has, you know, a little bit of a more mobility to go along with their size. And you're seeing that on the back end right now. A couple players that the Oilers might not be as familiar with are going to be Kevin Graffel and Derek Forbert, a pair of young defensemen. They both skate very well. Probably a little bit more offensive upside in Graffel, but this is probably the most mobile Kings defense that you're going to probably take a look at over the last several years. And looking at the Oilers, you know what, I see a similar makeup. There is a mix of size, physicality. You know, you don't expect this to be kind of, you know, when you saw previous games in this rivalry, you know, the Kings kind of maybe pushed them around the ice a little bit and really asserted themselves very well in this rivalry. But, you know, that's not something that I expect to see happen without a heck of a lot of pushback. We started seeing that a little bit last year, too.
John Rosen, LA Kings insider, joins us. Oilers and Kings tonight. Kopitar not in the lineup. Jonathan Quick, of course, out for many months. When it comes to matchups at home, the Kings have had a very good home record, although they got three overtime wins and a shootout ring, so they've definitely been close games, excluding the 5-0 shutout over Calgary. Drew Doughty, he's playing with Forbort. Is Daryl Sutter a guy who really likes to get matchups on home ice? Doughty plays a lot, so I'm not sure he worries about it. And, you know, I'm asking specifically about McDavid. Do you think there's, you know, is Doughty destined to be with McDavid as much as possible, or does Sutter not get into that game?
You know, you'll see Doughty on the ice against McDavid for a lot of his shifts. Daryl will downplay that. He's not as big of a matchup type guy as a lot of other NHL coaches may be, but I would still expect to see a very heavy dose of Drew Doughty, and, you know, Derek Forbert will be on there as well. You know, Forbert's been a guy who has shown some pretty good assertiveness in his game, has been more confident in his game recently. This is all coming, though, in the heels of a game in which he had a little bit of a rough night against Sidney Crosby when the Pittsburgh Penguins came into town earlier this month. So this is going to present a similar type of a challenge because he's going to be playing, you know, very heavy minutes against, you know, one of the two best players basically in the National Hockey League right now at this point. So there are going to be some good challenges here for this Kings defense. And, you know, I would imagine seeing Drew Doughty and his all-world type of capabilities going up against Edmonton's top line.
John, you're obviously familiar with Milan Lucic from his time down there. He, like some of the other key guys at the top of the lineup, have had a bit of a struggle scoring lately. From your point of view with Milan, what's the key thing? When he's going, what is he always doing?
He's a better skater, I think, than a lot of people give him credit for. He's good at being the forward that comes into the zone high. And is able to get those opportunities, whether off of drop passes, whether on deflections, or you know, just offering that support up there. I tend to remember a lot of goals that he scored, again, in close range, just driving to the net, dragging the defender with him, getting sticks on pucks, and getting redirections and tip-ins in front of the opposing goaltenders. You know, I've seen and I've heard, you know, a lot of just about the start that he's had so far with Edmonton. That's not too different from what he experienced in Los Angeles. With the Kings, there was a little bit of a challenge when he moved to playing with a left-handed center in Andrei Kopitar. Eventually, he went back to another right-handed center, similar to David Krejci, who was also right-handed in skating alongside Jeff Carter. Then by the middle of the year, he was very good alongside Kopitar once again. But it's going to be interesting. You know, the Kings fans are probably going to, you know, send him a few boos his way, even though really it came down to the fact that L.A. just wasn't able to really come close to matching the type of contract that he received from Edmonton. And everything that you know, just from a media perspective, whatever this is worth, you know, we enjoyed working with him. And, you know, he ended up, you know, in the day-to-day when you watched him, you know, maybe it wasn't as highlight worthy as maybe some other players. But then when you added up all the points at the end of the year, you look at the possession ratings, you knew of him as how important of a player he was in the room and the leadership that he brought. He ended up having a really good season in Los Angeles.
Well, you know, he adds a unique dimension. And in Edmonton this year, we've seen some games he's thoroughly dominated. The last few games, definitely not the level of play that they would like from a guy. Well, hey, when you get paid $7 million in a Canadian market, you're going to be expected to produce. And it's not just point producing. We haven't seen Lucic kind of playing with that anger and animosity that I think kind of goes hand in hand when he's playing well. So I'm curious. I know he won't necessarily dislike the Kings players, but usually guys play better against their friends, shockingly enough, because they want to, it's kind of like your family feud. You want to beat them more than anyone.
Yeah, I would imagine this will be one of those highly effective, emotional type games that Milan Lucic has. You know, I don't want to say a game is unadvertised, but you know, we knew about the reputation of Milan Lucic when he had joined the LA Kings, and you know, it wasn't ever that. There were very, very few elements where he was ever kind of somebody that had stuck out as any sort of a distraction or brought any type of unwanted attention or anything like that. He was just really good, and he was at his best. And Daryl Sutter said this a lot last year when he was most when he was that emotional type of a player with the Los Angeles Kings. So, you know, I would expect for him to have a very strong game here this evening, and it's not the last time we're going to end up seeing him in LA too. It's going to be a very long time that he's going to be spending in Edmonton, and you know, should only enhance the rivalry between these two teams.
John, one last one for me. Tom Gilbert had eyebrows raised here when he was suspended for a fairly vicious hit by Tom Gilbert standards. I know that's an outlier for him. How's he been playing, and is he going to be in the third pair tonight?
Yeah, he'll be skating alongside Kevin Gravel, another one of those players that adds you know, a little bit of that continued puck-moving element, getting the puck into the hands of the forwards, another staple of playing under Daryl Sutter. You know, we were somewhat surprised, and the Kings front office was very surprised at that suspension. You know, the injury appeared to occur, and I'm not a doctor, so I'm going to avoid speculating too much on this, but it appeared to occur when, you know, just by virtue of the hit that Nick Ritchie's head had hit against the glass. Came at him not from behind, came at him from about a 45-degree angle. It seemed a lot more of a hockey play than the type of play that, you know, that had, you know, had the potential to injure Daniel Sedin with Nazem Kadri back in Toronto a couple of weeks ago, too. But Gilbert's provided an element of offense that the Kings need. He's been a second-unit power play guy. Kings power play has struggled a little bit, had a big goal in Winnipeg over the weekend that helped earn the Kings a point. But another good veteran presence back there, somebody that, you know, when he's alongside Kevin Gravel, you do get a little bit of that potential for offense from that third defensive pair. So he's joined the lineup. It's actually really remarkable when you look at it how many different players have played for both of these teams over the last 5 years or so. Obviously, when you have the Lucic, Sekera going over to the Kings end, when you have Matt Green, Tom Gilbert, Teddy Purcell, up and down the line, you can go back 5 years. You can look at Colin Fraser. You can look at Dustin Penner. Even Jeff DeLaurier was a Kings training camp invite last year. Eric Belanger a couple years ago on the on Edmonton too. So a lot of changeover just in these two teams' rosters. But Tom Gilbert, you know, is somebody that, as a veteran, you know, he's counted on to move the puck, be able to provide a little bit of offense. You know, the Kings can use some of that from the blue line.
John, as always, great stuff. Good to talk to you. Enjoy the game tonight.
Will do. Always my pleasure. Thanks, guys.
John Rosen, the LA Kings insider. Follow him on Twitter, LA Kings Insider. Got always good stuff about the Kings. If you're a Kings fan, Oilers and the Kings tonight.